Good morning. Oh, there's more people now I didn't see. And actually now the results when I wrote the abstract were preliminary because we were still working on the final weighting of our sample, but the results that I'm presenting today are actually our final, final numbers. And I have no relationships to disclose. So just briefly, a background into the problem. Untreated depression during pregnancy is associated with preterm delivery, increased uterine artery resistance, neonatal growth retardation, high cortisol levels at birth, maternal hypertension, and preeclampsia. And depression during pregnancy is also a very important predictor of postpartum depression. And estimates of the prevalence of depression during pregnancy range anywhere from 12 to 37%, depending on the literature. So in this particular study, I wanted to look at describing the demographic and system level factors that are related to provider behavior in discussing maternal depression and anxiety at a prenatal care visit in Los Angeles County. And then I wanted to further investigate which of the factors were associated with whether or not physicians discuss depression and anxiety with their clients while controlling for important confounders. So in Los Angeles, we have more than 150,000 babies born every year. Los Angeles is one of the most ethnically diverse cities in the world, and LAM provides local data to health department and community partners to help identify at-risk groups and develop programs and policies. So LAM's been going on for quite a few years. It started in 2004. In 2005, with that data, I had done some research looking at just the prevalence of depression during pregnancy. So based on that research, I had found that 39% of women reported that they felt depressed or anxious during their last pregnancy, but only 3% of these women reported that they had a diagnosed mental health problem. And then in multivariate analysis, I found that African American, Latino, and Asian Pacific Islander women were all more likely than white women to report depressed mood during their last pregnancy, as well as women with lower incomes and women who were single, divorced, or widowed. They also were more likely to report depressed mood. So a little background into the actual survey. LAM is the Los Angeles Mommy and Baby Survey. It's a population-based survey that aims to identify factors associated with poor birth outcomes and to estimate the prevalence of selected maternal experiences. Most of the questions in the LAM survey are drawn and adapted from previously validated survey instruments, such as PRAMS. So eligibility, women who delivered babies, singleton babies, and during 2007 were surveyed. Generally, we get a hold of mothers between 3 and 7 months after their delivery. In the case of multiples, we choose one baby to include in the sample. We receive our population data from the birth certificates, and that's how we draw the samples and contact the mothers. And in 2007, LAM used multi-level clustered sampling with an oversample of low birth weight and preterm births. And then we use raking procedures to properly weight the sample back to the population. So this is just a brief outlook of how the study runs. It's a mixed mode methodology for data collection, very similar to the CDC PRAMS. In 2007, all participants received a $20 gift certificate. And we basically start out by sending a pre-letter to all of the sampled mothers introducing the project and letting them know that they're going to be receiving a survey packet. We follow that up with the first survey packet mailing. For mothers who haven't responded, they'll receive a reminder postcard and then follow that with a second survey packet. And for those that we still haven't heard from, we start doing telephone follow-up. So for this project, all data analysis were conducted in SAS version 9.2 using survey procedures to account for the complex sampling scheme. I started with descriptive analyses using both sampling and non-response weights, and I used that to come up with the population prevalences of selected factors. I also did some bivariate analysis using chi-square test statistics to assess the differences between the two groups, and then moved on to the multivariate analysis, which were conducted using multiple logistic regression. And these were the two main questions that I looked at in this analysis. First, we asked mothers, in the 6 months before you got pregnant, did you have any of these problems? There's a list of about 8 different things. two of which are depression and the other anxiety, and it's just a check all that apply. And I also looked at the question where we're asking them about their prenatal care experiences, and we ask, here are some concerns that a doctor, nurse, or other healthcare worker may talk about during a prenatal care visit. Did they talk about these things with you? Please count only discussions, not reading materials or videos. And again, in a list of questions, we asked them about, asked me if I felt anxious or depressed, and it was a yes, no, or don't know. So here are sample demographics, and these are all weighted to represent the population. In 2007, we had 6,264 women respond to the survey. 64% were Latino, 8% African American, 11% Asian Pacific Islander, and 17% white. You can see that the vast majority of our respondents were between 20 and 34. And we had about 44% reporting their income is under 20,000, and then at the other end, about 33% reporting greater than 40,000 a year. And so when I looked at whether or not women had had a discussion with their providers, 59% of women reported that a healthcare provider had discussed depression and anxiety with them at one of their PNC visits. And when I looked at this by race, I found that the Latino and African American women were both more likely to report having had that discussion with their physician, each around 62%, compared to white and Asian Pacific Islander mothers, who were each around 49%. 14% of the women were single, divorced, or widowed at the time of their delivery. And when I looked at this, I created the partner status. So having a partner is defined as married or living with a partner. And no partner is single, divorced, or widowed. So 66% of those with no partner said they discussed depression and anxiety at a PNC visit, compared to 58% of those with a partner. 32% of women had less than a high school diploma. And 26 were high school graduates, and then another 42% had more than a high school education. And again, we see the varying of reported discussion of depression and anxiety at a PNC visit, with those who are less educated being more likely to report having had that discussion. Discussion of depression and anxiety at a PNC visit also varied by the mother's age and income, and it sort of followed the trend of what I was seeing with those who made less money, being less than 20,000 a year, about 65% of them reporting that they'd had this discussion, compared to 49% of the women in the over 40,000 income category. And then if you look at the graph on the left, that's by age, and we have women who are under 20, about 65% of them reporting that they'd had the discussion with their provider, compared to 56% of those women who were over 35. And then I wanted to look at insurance, sort of who paid for the birth. So in our birth certificate data, we have the payer source. When I pulled that data out, I found that 54% of the deliveries that year were paid for by Medi-Cal. 39% were paid for by private insurance, and another 5% were either self-pay or had an unknown source. And then when I looked at it by the discussion of depression and anxiety at the PNC visit, I found that those with Medi-Cal as their payer source were more likely to have had this discussion, compared to the red, which is the self-pay or unknown, and the white, which is the private insurance. And then the purple is actually other government programs. So discussion of depression, anxiety at a PNC visit did not differ significantly between those reporting a pre-pregnancy issue with depression or anxiety compared with those who reported no history. And this was really what I was most interested in, and kind of surprised to see that it didn't have an impact. For both, the graph on the left is those who reported a previous history of depression. The graph on the right is those reporting a previous history of anxiety. And you can see between the two groups, it's right around 60% that reported having had the discussion. So in the multivariate model, income category and educational attainment were the strongest predictors of reported discussion of depression and anxiety during a PNC visit. And what I found was that the odds ratio is about 1.5 for women who had less than a high school education when compared to women who had greater than a high school education. And for income, both categories, being less than 20,000 or between 20 and 40,000, we're more likely to have report having that discussion compared to the higher income category of greater than 40,000. And the multivariate model included mothers' race, age, education, reported history of depression before pregnancy, anxiety before pregnancy, the payer source for the birth, and income and partner status. So while mother's education and income level were the most important factors associated with reported discussion of depression and anxiety, at a PNC visit, mother's race did play an important role. African American and Hispanic women were also slightly more likely to report being asked about depression and anxiety at a PNC, not V, visit when compared to white women, and those odds ratios were 1.3 and 1.2 respectively. And surprisingly, women who reported having had issues with depression or anxiety before were no more likely to be screened at their PNC visit. So overall, 59% of women reported a healthcare worker discussing depression or anxiety with them at their prenatal care visit. Younger and less educated mothers are at increased risk for depression during pregnancy based on the earlier research, and are also more likely to be asked about depression and anxiety at a PNC visit. And a reported history of depression or anxiety did not impact the discussion of depression and anxiety in the PNC setting. And we want to encourage providers to discuss and screen all women for depression and anxiety at their prenatal care visits. So what are we doing in Los Angeles? Our California Perinatal Service Provider Program is currently conducting a large training program for our CPSP providers, where they go out and teach them the importance of screening for perinatal depression. They teach them how to use a quick screening tool and then follow up with them to see what are the barriers to screening and how they're doing. And the goal being that we want all women screened at least once per trimester. We also participate in the Los Angeles Perinatal Mental Health Task Force to bring awareness to and decrease the stigma surrounding perinatal mood disorders. And then we've used LAM data to support local healthy baby learning collaboratives as they set their agendas each year. So limitations of the study, this is a self-report study, so it's always possible that recall bias can be an issue. It's a large sample and it's population-based, which gives us good information. And then I've got references if anyone wants them at the end. And I'd like to thank the entire LAM team and the Health Resources and Service Administration who funded the 2007 cycle of our project. And then I've got our website on there in case you want to go, and we've got surveys posted and data books and results. And my final slide is just contact information. And I have about 5 minutes, so if there's any questions. Okay, so the first part of your question was how depression and anxiety were measured in the survey or defined. Okay, so in the, that goes back to the earlier research, and there's a section where we asked women essentially for 2 weeks or longer and during your pregnancy, did you A, feel sad, empty, or depressed? And then I think the second one was like lose interest in most hobbies or feel anxious. It's a two-part question. So that was how we determined how many people were reporting depressed or anxious mood during pregnancy. And then the second part of your question was?
I was just wondering if the definition was the same across all respondents.
Right.
Different cultural groups tend to define the problems of depression and
right.
plus the symptoms somewhat differently. So
yeah. You know, we found something interesting. The data that I used for the where we asked about depression and anxiety during with the two-level question was in 2005. In 2007, we actually restructured that question and added it into, and in that sense, it was asked in sort of a non-clinical way. It was just this question about, did you feel this way for 2 weeks or more? We ended up adding it to a section of, did you have any of these conditions while you were pregnant? And it's a list of questions in 2007. And that made a difference on how women responded. And it was different by groups. So having it appear to be a more medical condition changed the reporting. And so in the 2010 cycle, we put it back to the 2005 version of the question. So I think that it does make a difference. But you know, the questions are structured the same for all respondents. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
I'm Christy McKinnon. I work on the Pregnancy Associated Mortality Review, and we found in some of the reviewing the deaths of women within 1 year of pregnancy, we're finding that I think providers sometimes are confused what to do with women that come in with pre-existing depression and they're on meds and then they just continue the meds. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a really bad thing. So I think training PTSD workers is a great idea, but maybe having some sort of provider awareness of what.
Okay, so that was more of a comment talking about, the idea of women coming in who already have experiences with depression, oftentimes on medication, and then providers not knowing quite what to do with them. And it is an issue. We've heard that from therapists in Los Angeles that specialize in treating perinatal mood disorders, that it's difficult. There's not very many providers that do it. And that was one of the things we learned from our CPSP project, was that providers were reluctant to screen because they didn't know what to do with them if they found out they were depressed, which, you know, so that was definitely an issue. And so we tried to provide them with, you know, outlets. But what they also found that was interesting was that some of the nurses were saying, you know, when women would come in, they look fine, and they wouldn't think there was a problem. And as soon as they would, so they'd go through this whole long intake form and everything seems fine, and then they just bring it up and ask, and the tears come, and they, you know, and so they were really impacted and said that they could see that these women that they thought were fine weren't fine, and that sometimes just asking and giving them a chance to talk was enough, that it didn't always require a referral to a specialist. And that was kind of what we wanted to do, was at least get it started so that people aren't just ignoring it. Yeah, and you know what, I'd have to look because I can't remember off the top of my head. It's a modified screening tool, and it will come to me eventually. I can't remember because I don't work directly on that project, but it's a modified screening tool. It's short, and what they had found was that the major reluctance to use it really wasn't about the time or anything else. It was that we don't know what to do with them. They just didn't want to know. I probably have to, like, one more. Yeah, it might have been. It will come to me. But if you want, I can definitely get that information for you. Is that it? All right, thank you.